Welcome to the God Solutions for Today's Problems podcast. Our goal is to help you see that no matter what problem you're facing, Jesus Christ holds the solution that you need. Before we begin, I'd like to inform you of our special offer. If this podcast has been a help and blessing to you, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book we are using in this podcast, The Guide to Biblical Counseling, by Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Ron Hawkins. It is available on our website for just $30. You can make your purchase today at OrdainedChaplainsUSA.org. Now, here's your host, the president of Ordained Chaplains USA and life coach, Daniel White III.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, welcome to God's Solutions for Today's Problems podcast. This is episode number 51. Beloved, our passage from the Word of God today is St. John 16:33. It reads, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Allow me to share with you, beloved, some interesting points on this passage from Dr. Matthew Henry's commentary. He comforts them with a promise of peace in him by virtue of his victory over the world. Whatever troubles they might meet with in it, "These things I have spoken, that in me you might have peace. And if you have it not in me, you will not have it at all. For in the world you shall have tribulation. You must expect no other, and yet may cheer up yourselves. For I have overcome the world." Notice, number one, the end Christ aimed at in preaching this farewell sermon to his disciples, that in him they might have peace, and may I lovingly and respectfully add, and only through him and only by him will we have peace. You must hang on to that. You must understand that. He did not hereby intend to give them a full view of that doctrine which they were shortly to be made masters of by the pouring out of the Spirit of God, but only to satisfy them for the present that his departure from them was really for the best. Or we may take it more generally. Christ had said, "All this Christ had said, all this to them, that by enjoying him they might have the best enjoyment of themselves." Notice, number one, it is the will of Christ that his disciples should have peace within, whatever their troubles may be without. Number two, peace in Christ is the only true peace, and in him alone believers have it. "For this man shall be the peace." Through him we have peace with God, and so in him we have peace in our own minds. Peace of mind. Number three, the word of Christ aims at this, that in him we may have peace. Peace is the fruit of the lips and of his lips. The entertainment they were likely to meet with in the world. You shall not have outward peace. Never expect it. Though they were sent to proclaim peace on earth and goodwill towards men, they must expect trouble on earth and ill will from men. Pardon me. It has been the lot of Christ's disciples to have more or less tribulation in this world. Men persecute them because they are so good in Christ and through Christ and only by Christ. And God corrects them because they are no better. Men designed to cut them off from the earth, and God designs by affliction to make them meet for heaven. Glory be to God, somebody, somewhere. And so between both they shall have tribulation. The encouragement Christ gives them with reference hereto, but be of good cheer. Not only be of good comfort, not only be of good courage, not only have a good heart, but be of good cheer on it. All shall be well. In the midst of the tribulations of this world, it is the duty and interest of Christ's disciples to be of good cheer, to keep up their delight in God, whatever is pressing, and their hope in God, whatever is threatening, as sorrowful indeed, in compliance with the temper of the climate, and yet always rejoicing, always cheerful, even in tribulation, even when your family and friends turn against you and captivate the world through the power of God in Jesus Christ. He overcame the wicked of the world. For many a time he put his enemies to silence and to open shame. And be you of good cheer, for the Spirit will enable you to do so too. He overcame the evil things of the world by submitting to them. He endured the cross, despising it and the shame of it. And he overcame the good things of it by being wholly dead to them. Its honors had no beauty in his eye, its pleasures no charms. Never was there such a conqueror of the world as Christ was, and we ought to be encouraged by it. Nobody like Christ. Because Christ has overcome the world before us, so that we may look upon it as a conquered enemy that has many a time been baffled. Nay, he has conquered it for us as the captain of our salvation. We are interested in his victory, and we should be. By his cross, the world is crucified to us, which bespeaks it completely conquered and put into our possession. All is yours, even the world. Christ having overcome the world, believers have nothing to do but to pursue their victory and divide the spoil and do it cheerfully. And this we do by faith. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Beloved, our quote for today, for this podcast, God's Solutions to Our Problems, is from Rees Howells. He said, unless we are really trusting him, where does the praise come in? This peace the Savior gives is not an artificial peace. It is so deep that even the devil can't disturb it. My, 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 my. That's beautiful. you can't hear things in the spirit while you have any turmoil or fear in you. You can't take a shade of fear into the presence of God. And I say to that, amen. How about you? So, beloved, the problem that we're dealing with today, that we are discussing today, is depression, part 6, from the book The Guide to Biblical Counseling by Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Ron Hawkins. The assessment interview rules out, if 10 is extreme sadness and 1 is feeling well, where are you today on a scale of 1 to 10? If the client is on the low side, find out what is causing the sadness. The issue to address may not be depression, but other concerns, and I would add such as sin. Next, are you using drugs or alcohol? These things used in excess, particularly alcohol. You should not be taking any unnecessary drugs at all. Can cause depression for people. This is why God says regarding alcohol, only in moderation. And for most people, one glass is moderation. When is the last time you had a thorough physical examination? If the counselee hasn't seen his or her doctor recently, give a medical referral. Do you have significant mood swings? Ask about the existence of mania or hypomania, and if they exist, give a psychiatric referral, is what they suggest, pastors, coaches, counselors. And if you're not high enough on the food chain, so to speak, degree-wise, qualification-wise, then you need to refer up, if you will, as the Lord leads you, preferably to a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian. General questions. How long have you felt depressed? I'm talking to you right now. Those of you who are sad and down and out and depressed and defeated and disgusted and even contemplating suicide. How long have you been depressed? What was happening in your life when you first became depressed? Were you caught up in sin? Confessed sin? Someone who is depressed needs acceptance and gentleness. The counselee may already be feeling as if he or she has failed in some way. Begin by listening to your counselee's story without judgment. Have you been depressed before? How about it, dear friend? I'm talking to you right now. Do you have a family history of depression? Was your mother a depressed individual? Did she struggle with depression? How about your father? Do you have difficulty concentrating and focusing? Have you lost interest in pleasurable activities such as enjoying a good meal, enjoying a good movie, enjoying sex with your spouse, taking your dog for a walk, enjoying the walk by yourself, or with a friend, or with your spouse, going to Starbucks with your girlfriend, or your Ace Boone Coon? there's something wrong somewhere, and this happens to a lot of people, sad to say. Have you ever been around anybody? They are not willing to do certain things to get something done. They have no goals, they have no dreams, they have no passion to get something done so that they can go and enjoy something they like to do. And then they don't even have anything planned to do for the whole week. They don't, there are things they don't like doing, certain things. They don't even like knitting, crocheting, nothing. Nothing excites them. Nothing is their passion. They have nothing to look forward to. That is the mark, to me, of a very depressed person, a person who is suffering from depression. When you're not excited about, excuse the English, nothing. I know that's bad. That's a bad English. I know that's a double negative. I'm not stupid. But it sounds better for this point. You're not excited about nothing. You're not excited about sex. You're not excited about eating a great meal. You're not excited about some kind of passion or sport. Or you're not excited about even serving the Lord. What is wrong? And there are many people that way. They have no goals. They have no vision. They have no dreams. They have no passion. And then they want to try to tear yours down and try to hinder you in pursuing what you are pursuing. These are, pray for individuals like this. The Bible refers to them, I believe, as feeble-minded. Are you dealing with guilt or fear about anything? Guilt because of some evil you've done in the past that you have not confessed and divulged. Or fear of trying new things. Fear of failure. So many people never get started because they fear failure. Fear is prevalent in many kinds of depression, anxiety, and depression consists in 70% of those diagnosed with depression. What do you see in your future? Have you had any thoughts about injuring yourself or suicide? Tell the truth. Sometimes the thoughts are vague, such as, it would be better if I were not here. Pay particular attention to anything indicating a means for carrying out these thoughts. For example, if you see some rope in a trunk with a knife or some hedge cutters, and you see a little white bag, you might want to stop the conversation and get some help real quick. Especially if they stumble when you ask them, why do you have that rope in your trunk? Pay particular attention to anything indicating a means for carrying out these thoughts of suicide. Someone who is suicidal and imagines having an automobile accident has both a plan and a means to carry it out. Wise counsel. The most dangerous symptom of depression is suicidal ideation. If, as a result of your questions, you discover that the counselee desires to hurt him or herself, do not hesitate to involve other family members and or a mental health professional if necessary. I would suggest the family members and the mental health professional. It is necessary in this day and time. So if you recommend that your client see a physician, make sure he or she understands that it is okay to take medications if needed to get depression under control. That's what medications mostly are for, to get things under control, not to keep on taking for the rest of your life. I would recommend more prayer before you do that. But these are professional counselors who wrote this book. And we need to take heed to what they're saying. Communicate that using medication doesn't mean that the counselee is weak or lacks faith in God. Depressed Christians certainly should continue praying, reading the Bible, confessing sin, and pursuing holiness, but unless God or a professional Christian counselor says otherwise, don't assume the depression is caused by a spiritual problem. That type of thinking can lead a depressed Christian from seeking professional help. If our Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at the subject, the sad subject of depression. Holy Father God, as we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will help us to help others who have lost their way, and some who are even contemplating taking their own lives. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would intervene, cast out the devils and the demons of hell and the satanic spirit of Judas, because it is the devil telling people to kill themselves. Give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Lead us, guide us, and direct us by your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Dear friend of mine, if you are listening today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, nobody can help you with your anger issues better than the Savior, Jesus Christ. Allow him to save your soul from sin and hell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "And thou you shalt be saved." Here's how you can be saved from sin, anger, and hell, and have a home in heaven when you die. In more detail. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner. You have sin in your life. You are sinful. And that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell because of your sins. We die physically because of our sins, and our bodies go to the grave. Our soul goes to hell if we have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, dear friend, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ himself said in John 3:16 in the Holy Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, dear friend, if you need further coaching please visit our website at www.ordainedchaplainsusa.org. If you have other questions about life's problems for this podcast, please email us at coach@ordainedchaplainsusa.org. Until next time, my beloved, please remember that God has a solution to all of your problems. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the God's Solutions for Today's Problems podcast. If this podcast has been a help and blessing to you, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book we are using in this podcast, The Guide to Biblical Counseling, by Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Ron Hawkins. It is available on our website for just $30. You can make your purchase today at ordainedchaplainsusa.org. Please feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a comment about this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to the God Solutions for Today's Problems on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, BlackBerry Podcast, and via podcasting apps on the Google Play Store and the Amazon App Store. God bless you.